morning as I was reading, and I'm going to read just in a kind of a broken up manner here. This is the place in the gospel according to Mark where the Lord Jesus is not just having his Last Supper, but in the last couple of chapters here, he's going to be crucified. And I want to read some passages of Scripture together. So we're going to begin at Mark chapter 14, verse 26 through 30. And if you're able to, let's all stand together, please, for the reading of God's Word. Mark chapter 14, verses 26 through 30, and then we're going to skip over to verse 66. The Bible says in verse 26, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." So this is after the Lord's table. "And Jesus saith unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be what? Scattered. But after that I'm risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, Although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me," how many times?
Thrice.
Three times. Now, we're going to skip through here where they betray the Lord Jesus, and then they're going to take him to Caiaphas's house, and they're going to falsely accuse him. Look at verse 66 now. "And as Peter was beneath the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, And thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And a maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, This is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. He began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom he spake. And the second time, the cock crew." Now, this is the portion of Scripture that the Lord drew my heart to for several hours yesterday. The Bible says, "And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him." Now, we just read that, remember? Back in verses 26 through 30. And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, "Before the cock crew twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." And when he thought thereon, he wept. Now, as I read that, I was drawn to two phrases there in verse 72. Notice the phrases with me. "And Peter called," notice what it says, "called to mind the word." And then if you look at the last sentence, "and when he thought thereon, he wept." Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Word of God, and I thank you for, Lord, its inspiration, its preservation. I thank you that it's impeccable, infallible, and preserved. I am so grateful to have it. I'm so grateful that I can stand on the promises of my God and that they are in Him, amen, forever. And Lord, tonight as we open it, I pray that you give me utterance. I need you tonight, and so I ask you to help me, Lord, to be faithful, and that you'd help me to be emptied of anything self-sufficient or vain, that I may be filled with your Spirit and used as a vessel unto righteousness to preach your message to us, your children. And Lord, I pray that you'd be glorified and honored because of the way that you have honored and magnified thy word. Lord, one of the last things that you prayed before you were betrayed this very night that we read about was, Father, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. God, that's the words, part of the words that Peter thought thereon. And when he did, he wept. And God, I pray that you'd help us tonight to see the importance of renewing through the Scriptures. I pray that you bless these that are here and bless their endeavor of faith, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. At the heart of spiritual renewal, I believe, is the Word of God. When Peter called to mind the word, the Bible says, when he thought thereon after that, that he wept. I believe part of the renewal process is my ability to call to mind the word of God and then to think about it. That is to ponder it. That is to muse upon it. That is to consider it well or to meditate on it. I want to ask you tonight, by way of introduction, when you call to mind the Word of God, what does it cause you to do? Because when Peter, the Bible says, called to mind the word that Jesus said, when he thought thereon, he wept. What comes to mind when you read the scripture or when you hear the preaching of it? Does it cause you to weep? Does it specifically do the work that God has ordained that it do in your heart? When a person calls to mind God's word, it ought to cause an examination of their life before God. And I had these several thoughts that I wrote down in my journal. When I call to mind God's greatness, I must examine my worship. When I call to God to mind God's goodness, I must examine my gratitude. When I call to mind God's grace, and when I call to mind God's mercy, I must examine my humility. When I call to mind God's humility, I must examine my service. And when I call to mind God's love, I must examine my love. You see, what I read in the Word of God ought cause me to do something. It ought to make me act in some kind of way. The Bible says the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And that's exactly what happened that night. Peter warmed himself by the fire with those that were with the council and those that were familiar with what was going on, the proceedings, if you will. And the Bible says that Peter was questioned three different times. And when he was finally questioned in other gospels, the Bible says that he cursed vehemently, trying to dispel the fact that he was a disciple of Christ. And then the cock crew, and then he remembered. Now, wouldn't it have been better had he thought thereon before that? It would have been better before he denied Christ to actually think about what Jesus said and cause it to do something in him so that he wouldn't have had to weep. Peter's time with his own thoughts that day were crucial to his revival, and I believe it's crucial to yours and mine as well. If we're going to have a spiritual renewal, it must be through the Word of God. It must be the one key attribute or one key factor in the beginning of our year so that we could have revival. It was crucial for Peter's return, his reviving, his restoration, his renewal, to think back on what Jesus had said so that he could act properly. By the way, when it says that he went out and he wept bitterly, and those are tears of repentance. Not regret, repentance. He wished he'd never said it. He wished he would have been more mindful of what Jesus said before he opened his fat mouth. I've been there. I wish I'd have thought more on the Word of God to keep me from opening my mouth ever. In many cases, the Bible says in Psalm 138 and verse 7, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. That's exactly where Peter found himself. By his own misery, by his own account, he said, I'm not going to do this. And then he did it. And then he thought and remembered and thought, oh my goodness, Jesus was right and I was wrong all along. What did it do? What was Jesus doing when he spoke? He was discerning Peter's heart before Peter even could tell it. Though Peter was convinced one way, Jesus knew something completely different. And he tried to warn him. This is what's going to happen, Peter. And he didn't. He didn't listen. One of the reasons for a 90-day reading schedule of the New Testament at the beginning of the year is to make the Word of God a daily part of your life. In 2 Corinthians 4:16, we read on Sunday morning, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. That's something that we have to decide on every day. We said it's been directed by God. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Again, in Ephesians 4 and chapter 21, if so be that ye have heard him, that is Jesus, and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I don't know that you and I could ever have a genuine spiritual renewal without the Word of God. I think you and I could argue tonight with some pretty interesting biblical evidence that you can't, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. As I thought about this tonight, I asked the Lord this morning. I thought yesterday this is what he wanted me to preach on, but I went to the passages in Proverbs tonight, and I said, Lord, I just want you to show me. I really just want to speak on what you want me to speak on. And all year long, I don't care what series it's in, I just want to be faithful to the Holy Spirit of God. And if he wants me to take a detour, then I want to take the detour. But I don't really feel like it's a detour if it's where God wants us to go. In Mark chapter 14, I read of Peter's at first you think, man, if you didn't have the rest of the account, you think Peter is the man. He's like the spiritual Rambo of the disciples. Nobody's going to get anything over on Peter. And then just one page later, you find him doing exactly what Jesus said he would do. I thought about that, and I thought about my desire for renewal. And as I prayed for our church's renewal this year, I thought about these seven spiritual resolutions concerning the Word of God I think we need to make tonight. If it's genuine in your heart, if you prayed it all one time since the beginning of the new year, God, renew my heart, and God, renew my faith, and God, renew my commitment, and God, renew my vision for you, and renew just everything about me. Lord, I need a renovation. I need to restore it back to a former state when I was saved and I had the joy of the Lord. If you prayed that at all, then I want you to know that this message is for you. And there's probably at least one or two of us in here that have prayed that. And I think I'm so passionate about it because it was so real to me when I wrote it down in my journal. I want you to see what God's word must be in our lives if we are going to have spiritual renewal. Look, if you're going to be renewed in your mind, if your inward man is not going to perish like your outward man, then the Word of God, first of all, must be preeminent. It must absolutely, without question, be preeminent in your life. If we are going to experience spiritual renewal on a day-to-day basis, then every day we must make the Scriptures the preeminent part in our life. We must see it as the most valuable, as the most necessary part of our day. In Psalm 138 and verse 2, the Bible says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness, notice, and for thy truth. For thou, that is God, hast magnified thy word above thy name. Now, we've said that many times from this pulpit before. That is above the name Yahweh, the pre-all self-existent God Almighty. That is before Elohim. That is before Jehovah. That is before I am. That is before all of it. God said, my word is greater than that. That's unbelievable. Now, if God has made his word preeminent, ought it not be in our lives as well? Is reading the Bible a necessary part of your day, or does it have a lower priority in your life? George Mueller, after having read the Bible through 100 times, he said, with increasing delight, made this statement, and I quote, I look upon it as a day lost when I have not had a good time over the Word of God. Friends often say, I have so much to do, so many people to see, I cannot find time for Scripture study. Perhaps there are not many who have more to do than I. For more than a half a century, I have never known one day when I had not more business than I could get through. But I have always made it a rule never to begin work until I have had a good season with God and His Word. The blessing I have received, he said, has been wonderful. How is that possible? Well, because he made it preeminent. He said, more than anything else that I do, I see that it is more valuable than anything else that I could do, and that it is more necessary than anything else that I possibly could have. In truth, thou canst not read the Scriptures too much, and what thou readest, thou canst not read too well. And what thou readest well, thou canst not too well understand. And what thou understandest well, thou canst not too well teach. And what thou teachest well, thou canst not too well live, Martin Luther said. There's nothing that you can say with the Word of God that's too much. Mostly, it's not enough. The fact of the matter is, if we're going to have scriptural renewal, then the Word of God must be preeminent. Secondly, it's got to be preached. Somebody's got to do it. The keys, someone said, to spiritual renewal are your personal time in God's Word and your public time under it. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. I sure wish more people would think about that verse. I sure wish more people believed that portion of Scripture and take it, instead of believing more portions of Scripture are more inspired. Listen, it's all inspired. It's all of God. That word is just as important as whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says the preaching of the word of God is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved, it's supposed to be the power of God. Now, whether we believe it or not is irrelevant. It's still the power of God, but we are powerless if we're not under the preaching of it. Paul goes on to say, but we preach Christ crucified, and unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. I better be under God's preaching. I better be in God's word, under God's preaching. Why? Because it's got to be the most important thing to me. I better make it preeminent. I better put myself where it's preached. When you come to service, can I ask you to do yourself a favor? Not me. I'm going to preach regardless. I'm going to preach whether there's 10, whether there's 100 or 200. I'm going to preach whether there are people sleeping, whether there's people doing inventory on their purse or fixing their nails. I'm going to do it all. But listen, do yourself a favor and do a few things before you come to church. Be physically rested before you come to church. Don't use this as a catalyst for that power nap on a Sunday or Wednesday. Can I have an amen right there? Be physically rested. Be spiritually prepared. Be emotionally secure. Then you know what will happen? You'll be able to offer the sacrifice of praise. You'll be able to offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving. You'll be able to receive God's word if you do those things. I'm just trying to help you. The fact of the matter is, so many people don't have the power of God because they don't come to church prepared. Listen very carefully. There's much more that goes into growing in grace than just showing up to church. Much more than just showing up to church. How and why you show up is equally as important as if you show up at all. Preaching. The Bible has to be preached, which intimates someone needs to listen. So we've got to do what we can to remove the barriers or the walls or the obstacles of our attention. Did you know that you can't possibly get out of God's word what you need to get out of it if you get up and all you do is go like this and then you go? Did you know that? Now, I'm not a rocket scientist, but I'm pretty sure that you can't lay down on that book and have it seep in to your body. I was told that your feet absorb greater than any part of your body. That you can put your feet, you can take certain oils and you can put them at the bottom of your feet and they will absorb into your bloodstream faster than anything. Did you know that? Any other place in your body. It's amazing. And the only problem with that is you can't even stand on the Bible and get it to absorb into your life. Because it's not a physical book, it's a spiritual book. It's got to be read, and in order to read, you got to be awake. It's got to be heard, and in order to be heard, you've got to be awake. You've got to be concentrating. You've got to be serious. The Word of God must be preeminent. If we're going to have a spiritual renewal, we better listen to it being preached. Thirdly, the Word of God must be pursued. The only source for real wisdom in this world is the Word of God. You need to write that down. I think it's in your notes, actually, because I thought you needed to write it down. The only source for real wisdom in this world is the Bible. If you need to know, it's in there. If you don't, it's not. You would do well to take that to the bank. Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us, hallelujah, and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of the law. So what's the conclusion? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It doesn't say, study to show thyself approved unto God, a slothful man. Doesn't say that. Why? Because it would be paradoxical, oxymoronic. You can't study and be lazy. If you're going to study, you got to work at it. It's got to be something we pursue. God would communicate his mind to each one who studies to show himself approved unto him, Ironside said. If you really want to know, study. If you really want to be blessed, study. Pursue the everlasting wisdom of God and let it change your life. Pursue it as if it is the most necessary thing, as if it is the most valuable thing in your life. Fourthly, number four, it's got to be perceived. Perceived. John Bunyan, who wrote Pilgrim's Progress. Anybody ever heard of Pilgrim's Progress? John Bunyan wrote that. He said, and I quote, "Read the Bible and then read it again. And do not despair of help to understand something of the will and mind of God, though you think they are fast locked up from you. Neither trouble yourself, though you may not have commentaries and expositions. Pray and read and pray. For a little from God is better than a great deal from man." Man, that's awesome. I don't have to understand the mind of God to get out of the Word of God what I need. You know what we have a problem with? We don't have a problem with eschatology. We don't have a problem with soteriology. We don't have a problem with all the ologies. We have a problem with praying. We have a problem with getting out of bed and reading the Bible and being loving and kind to our spouses. We have a problem being faithfully consistent as parents. We have a problem with the shallow things. We don't need to be diving off into the deep things of God. Amen. We need to be faithful in the little things, the things that God has revealed to us. And before we break out and say, well, I just don't understand this or don't understand this. Well, before you complain about what you don't understand and finding a reason why you don't read the Word of God, why don't you look and try to find out if you're obeying what you do already understand? That probably will lead to some form of spiritual renewal in your life. The Word of God must be perceived. Proverbs 2 and verse 1, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and notice, apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." Three times in those verses, God says, I'll give it if you seek it. If you want to understand, don't give up. God will help you to understand. Must be pursued. If I'm going to have a spiritual renewal, the Word of God must be preeminent. It's the most valuable thing that I own. It's the most precious thing. My dad, I went into the military, and he said, son, if I die, Kevin's going to get the shotgun, you get my Bible. I was like, what kind of a deal is that? I can't do anything with the Bible. I was all disheartened for a long time. And he said, you don't understand it now, but you'll understand it later. Well, he gave me the Bible before he died. He's not dead yet. And I took it with me to the military into basic training, and I very quickly understood what he meant. It was totally different. It was far more valuable. Today, I could tell you that the Word of God is alive. But it may not be to you. And that wouldn't be God's fault, by the way, because it's inspired whether you and I read it or not. It is. It's inspired whether you and I read it or believe it or not. It's God-breathed. But the only way you're going to have revived renewal, the only way you're going to be renewed is if you let it do it again. You've got to get in it. You've got to pursue it so that you can perceive it. I tell people as they read their Bible to understand what you can and take the rest by faith until you can ask for clarification. Most of God's word is understandable, by the way, concerning love. You could read the Word of God and come away with, okay, that's what love looks like. That's the way I'm supposed to love. Most of the Bible is understandable concerning how to raise your kids. Very clear what the Bible says about church. Very clear about salvation. It's very clear about prayer. It's very clear about study of Scripture. It's very clear about finances and giving and stewardship. Most people's questions revolve, however, around things that don't pertain to daily life. They want to know a whole bunch of other stuff, and that's why when I did the book of Revelation, I was like, look, let's not get hung up on all this. Let's look at what it means for us today. What does it mean? We need to tell someone about Christ because they're going to die and go to hell. That's what God wants us to take from it. That's what God wants. If our lives need to be revived, if they need to be renewed day by day because our outward man perisheth, if God gives us another day, It's because he has a purpose for us, and that only comes through his word. A theological student came to Charles Spurgeon one day, Brother Greg. We were talking about him earlier. Greatly concerned that he could not grasp the meaning of certain verses in the Bible. The noted preacher replied kindly and firmly, and he said, and I quote, "Young man, allow me to give you this word of advice. Give the Lord credit for knowing things you don't understand." That's awesome. Well, I don't want to read it because it's so hard to understand. Well, then read the parts that you do understand. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. Did everybody understand that? Did everybody understand that? Did everybody understand, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel? Did everybody understand that? Did everybody understand, love your neighbor as yourself? Did every husband understand, love your wife like Christ loved the church? Does every parent understand, train up a child in the way that he should go? That's pretty understandable. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. That's pretty understandable. But we want to talk about what we don't get. Why don't we obey what we do get and God will take care of the rest? If we're going to have spiritual renewal, we're going to have to make the Word of God something that it probably hasn't been in a while. Preeminent. We're going to have to listen when it's preached. We're going to have to pursue it for ourselves for what it is, and we're going to have to do our best to perceive it by faith. Number five, then we need to take it, and it needs to be planted. The Bible says in Matthew 13:23, "But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it." Luke 8:15, "But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." This is the most important part of your life then, because sin distances you from God and the Bible distances you from sin. That's what it's designed to do. You cannot argue that. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." At least give yourself a living chance not to sin rather than just taking it for granted. I got this. I know what I'm supposed to do and I'm not supposed to do. Are you doing all of those? Are you not doing all of the rest? Because if not, guess what happens? I need to be reminded. I've got to be reminded. Paul said daily, every single day, I've got to be reminded whose I am and why I'm here and the purpose of my life and everything that goes along with it. And I'm not reminded outside of that. Peter was removed from the sitting with Jesus and was taken to warm himself by the fire of the enemy. And he couldn't remember the Lord's word until it was too late. And because it was too late, he had to weep. How many of us in here tonight could attest to the fact that we remembered too late? Oh, it's not for trying. God took a period of many, many years and over 40 authors, and he said, "Now I put together something that's my letter to you. The secret things I'm not putting in there, but those things which I've revealed are for you and for your children forever." What a blessing. If I'm going to be spiritually renewed, it must be through the scripture planted in my heart. Number six, it must be preferred above all else. It's interesting to me. During elections, people look for advice from a voting guy. When a marriage is in jeopardy, they seek counsel. When they have problems with finances, they buy a book or buy an app. When their children are misbehaving, they search for a doctor. When they suffer from depression or grief or heartache, they turn to others. But how many will turn to the Word of God? Spiritual renewal is an assurance of life and its purpose through the lens of Scripture. Nothing else satisfies like the Word of God. Nothing. Nothing else gives wisdom like the Word of God. Nothing else changes my view of the world and my circumstances like the Word of God. An unknown author said, and I quote, "This book is the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy. Its precepts are binding. Its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it," he said, "to be wise. Believe it to be safe. Practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's character. Here, paradise is restored, heaven opened, and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand subject, our good its design, and the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. Follow its precepts, and it will lead you to Calvary, to the empty tomb, to a resurrected life in Christ. Yes, to glory itself for eternity. And the Bible says, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. We want to be received to glory, but do we always want to take his counsel? Are we allowing the word of God to guide us because it's supposed to be preferred? I would rather get what I need from God than any man. Let God be true and every man a liar, Peter said. If I'm going to be renewed, I have to go through the scripture. And if I go through the scripture, it's got to be the most important thing to me. It is the mind of God in print that he wants me to know about. God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. It's got to be preached. That means if it's to be preached, someone's got to listen. It's got to be pursued. I've got to want it. I've got to desire it. You know, kind of like that raise, kind of like that position, kind of like that nest egg, kind of like whatever it is you're pursuing. Are you doing that kind of effort to search for her as for hid treasure? It's got to be perceived, and I have to work at it by faith. I've got to take it and plant it in my heart. It must be preferred. And seven, and lastly, it must be pondered. That's where we go back to Mark 14. When Peter called to mind, he remembered what the Lord said. That's what called to mind means. And he pondered. He thought about it. The words, this is interesting to me. The words thought thereon. Are you still there in Mark chapter 14? Go to verse 72. Peter called to mind. He remembered. He thought again of the word that Jesus said. Notice, and when he thought thereon, he went, you know, this is so awesome. That phrase thought thereon literally means he tied it together. He said, this is what he said. This is what I did. That's what it means. It means he pondered on it enough to tie all the loose ends. He made a cross stitch of his life right there in a nanosecond. Oh, I'm sure it helped, as Luke says, that the Lord, when he heard the cock crow, looked on Peter, and Peter saw the Lord. I'm sure that that helped. Praise the Lord, by the way, that he's still looking and that he's willing to look us even when we fail. But when he thought thereon, he wept. Of course, he did that after it was too late. Someone said, when you take time to ponder the word of the Lord, you will be more careful to ponder the path of thy feet and the words of thy mouth. Gypsy Smith told of a man who said he had received no inspiration from the Bible, although he had gone through it several times. Gypsy Smith replied, and I quote, let it go through you once, then you'll tell a different story. That's pretty important, the Bible. God didn't preserve it so that it could be tossed on a dashboard or left underneath a seat. I'm praying that the first 90 days of this year will establish our church in a habit of making God's word an active living part of our life, rather than something we pick up and scan like the classifieds. Someone wrote, and I'm closing. I supposed I knew my Bible. Reading piecemeal, hit or miss, now a bit of John or Matthew, now a snatch of Genesis. Certain chapters of Isaiah, certain Psalms, the 23rd, 12th of Romans, 1st of Proverbs. Yes, I thought I knew the word. But I found that thorough reading was a different thing to do. And the way was unfamiliar when I read the Bible through. You who like to play at Bible, dip and dabble here and there, just before you kneel a weary and yawn through a hurried prayer. You who treat the crown of writings as you treat no other book, just a paragraph, disjointed, just a crude, impatient look. Try a worthier procedure. Try a broad and steady view. You will kneel in very rapture when you read the Bible through. You know what? I want renewal, and I learned a long time ago that is not going to happen if I don't make the Word of God exactly what God has already made it, more important than his own name. Father, we love you, and we thank you for the Bible tonight. Lord, I thank you that it's true, every word of it, and I believe every word of it. I may not be able to understand every word of it. I may not be able to explain every word of it, but for what I don't, I acknowledge openly and publicly that I'm okay with you knowing some things that I don't understand. God, I pray that what I do understand, you would help me this year to be faithful to do them. God, for those who want spiritual renewal, that path leads through Scripture, or it goes nowhere. Father, tonight I pray that we would recommit ourselves to the reading of this dear, precious book we call the Bible. Father, you've elevated it greater than the name of our God and Savior. That's not even understandable, really, by us. God, for us to treat it as something anything other than what you have ordained it to be is a living crime. For that, we are guilty. And we pray that you would forgive us. Forgive us where we have not today taken time. Forgive us where we've not pondered the Word of God and therefore not pondered the way we take. Forgive us where we've not meditated on it, where we've not planted it in our heart and our bones, that we might not sin. Father, we're all grateful that Peter found mercy and was restored and revived and renewed. And Lord, for that, I think what we are as Christians is far too presumptuous. Rather, I pray that we would be purposeful. Help us to call to mind the word that you speak. And help us to very carefully think thereon and tie it all together. May we apply it in our heart to understanding and do our best to do so. Would you please renew our spiritual life? Renew our commitments to the Word of God, I pray in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, how many would say, Pastor?